You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 80 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. And each week, the three of us hope to provide a good technical analysis of the metals charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict our markets. And today, we're going to get into certainly the weekly recap to begin with. We'll draw February to a close, so we'll give you some of the monthly numbers, as well as look at kind of year to date, and a lot of underlying fundamentals to dig into, and not the least of which is geopolitics. So, Miles, how about recapping our week?
Tori, I got so excited you're back. I clicked off something, and now I can't find where I put my notes.
Oh, well, that's okay. I need to carry the show with being out. Yeah. I think you guys are you're in cahoots here to just make me do all the talking.
You owe us. Yep, yeah, this is going to be the all Tori show.
Yep.
I'll tell you, it was a terrible time to leave and be out, and it was the best time to leave and be out because it's been so busy, right? I mean, it's good, but at the same time, it has settled down a little bit. The waters have calmed, and I think the weekly and monthly numbers will show that.
Yeah, certainly the weekly numbers will reflect that. They're a lot smaller than we've been used to. So not the total values. I mean, you're still talking silver over $80 and gold in the 5,000s, but the percentages are smaller than we've gotten used to. So we'll start off with gold. Gold is down 1% over the past week, currently sitting at $5,135. Most of that happened yesterday, so we'll take a closer look at the gold chart here in a few minutes. Silver, a little bit bigger. Silver's down about 7%, which isn't surprising given the trading range that silver's been in. So down about 7% this week, currently sitting at $83.30. Quick glance at the other white metals. Platinum is down 6%, still holding a good bit above 2,000. It's at 2,147, but did have another down week this week and kind of flattening out, just like silver has. And its sister metal, palladium, flattening that platinum to palladium ratio out a little bit. Palladium is down 8%, currently sitting at $1,654. Quick glance at the paper markets. The S&P down 1%, 6,870, and continuing to show a little bit of rollover momentum in the S&P, so we're watching that pretty closely. And finally, no surprise, the dollar, while not up as much as it was yesterday or the day before, the dollar is up 1.25% from our recording last week, currently sitting at $98.80. So pretty tame week across the board compared to the last couple months. I mean, 8% movement, 6% movements, you know, those are pretty big moves in a week, but it's kind of shaking off the fervor that the markets were in, certainly the precious metals markets were in back in January. So as we're finishing up February, Tori, how is the monthly looking?
Monthly was really positive. I mean, Rob, you grabbed me earlier today and you're like, hey, we've got a lot to cover today in the show. And most importantly, I mean, you and I agreed there's a negative air, in a sense, to the precious metals. Like it's lost its fun or its luster. You know, here's Miles giving negative numbers for the week. But as far as February is concerned, I mean, you and I are both totally encouraged.
Well, right? Yeah. I mean, you mentioned earlier that silver closed at its highest month ever. And gold closed at its highest month ever. These are good numbers. And when you look at the year-to-date numbers, you want to go over those?
Yeah, well, and last week was also the highest close in gold ever. So despite that big pullback that we had at the very end of January, the closing prices for January were shaping out to be higher than what February ended up being. But with that big pullback, we did have a major decline and a nice little rally. So with gold, it actually finished up 6.9% for the month of February. Silver was up 9.4%, platinum up 10%, and palladium up 3.2%. So an excellent February. Like you said earlier, that makes actually for a good year. Those are the
those
types
are
of numbers.
Good year numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You take that for a CD at the bank.
Exactly.
Right? But year to date, we're still really strong. Gold's up 21.6%. Silver is still up over 30% for 2026. Same with platinum and palladium. They're all in the green, 16.4 for platinum, 10.4 for palladium. So despite this week's decline, which is not priced into that February close that Miles just talked about, because those are the February 27th Friday close dates. That's all pre-Iran geopolitical crisis that we'll get into here in a little bit and the volatility that's come from that. Miles, you talked about a lot of the decline in the prices happening just in the last 24 hours. Again, a lot of that has to do with that post-settlement, if you will, of where things are geopolitically and how this war is playing out.
Well, and just based on our experience, we have seen international geopolitical crises develop, and the markets tend to get really pushed, but then they always settle back. Geopolitically, you can't count on that to move the markets.
Only for a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Which is
great if you're a day trader.
It's also when the dollar and gold move in concert with each other. So Miles, digging into a little bit deeper look into the U.S. dollar, what a volatile chart here as of late, understandably, going just from March 1st, from the close of Friday to what we've seen from 97 to almost 100 on the chart, which is, again, to be expected because when there's great uncertainty, whether it's from war or market crash or whatever else, the dollar rallies. And typically, if the dollar's in a bull market, that means gold is in a bearish trend. Well, when there's short-term fear or panic or concern or uncertainty, they'll both climb at the same time. And that's what we saw. Gold going up like 3.2% over the weekend as a result of the Iranian deal. Silver was up like 7% over the weekend. Both of them didn't only give that back, but more. So now here we are, as Miles summarized for the week. Gold is down 7.3% from the peak over the weekend, and it's actually lower than where it closed on Friday before the event. It's 4.5% below where it was Friday. Silver, similar. So silver spiked, like I said, 7% all the way up to $96. So it went up like $6.50 by Monday morning. And then it dropped by Tuesday all the way down to 78.05. So that was a 19% drop from the high, and it's down 13% from the close Friday. So that shows you how short-lived some of those spikes can be with events like that.
Well, what I'm curious about, and we talked about this, Miles, is can you bring up some charts and show our clients, not just based on the moving averages, but also on the Fibonacci numbers, what they can expect base levels to look like for both gold and silver, and perhaps where the tops are, or where the resistance needs to be broken to get this momentum, our favorite word from last week, back in style again.
Gold's pretty easy. It took a single correction and it just keeps stair-stepping back towards the highs. There's not a lot of sideways trading. There was just one big kick to the shins, but it's sort of picking itself back up. Now we'll see if that continues. There's certainly cases like the run-up we had last year, which ended gold in the middle of October around 4,300. We had a little bit of a correction, not as deep, but then it just kept climbing back up until it finally broke above it and then shot up in January, like we saw. So there's definitely still the argument that we could see gold continue here just based on how it's currently trading. It's trading back up to the top. We could also put in a double top and turn around and come back down to some of those fib levels. But then you'd probably be talking about some longer term fib levels. So if I do pull the chart up here and let's say we just look at the previous high in gold that I just mentioned in October, if we're just looking at the last most recent market move, you're really starting this move around the beginning of November at like 3,900 gold. You're running all the way up to the peak, which was January 29th, and that was about 5,600 gold. And you just look at that stretch of time right there. Well, lo and behold, that second day after the crash, we already hit the 618. We had a 618 correction in 2 days. You can look at some of these fib numbers. It doesn't really matter if it hits it tomorrow or if it hits it 6 months from now, because there are going to be people defending those price levels just based on how people trade and invest long term. So gold, as scared as I am to say it, and I actually like the silver chart more, but as nervous as I am to say it, is right now we're at the bottom of this rising channel. We've been stair-stepping up along these fib levels. Your 382 has basically been the midline of where we've been trading gold for the last month, and that's $49.50, $49.60. Gold is acting like it needed a breather. It got kicked in the shins by the Chinese government shutting down trading, the CME group raising margin requirements for the 1100th time in the last few months, and just kind of got the perfect storm of the market crashing there. But gold doesn't seem to be fazed by this. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't, but the momentum, at least right now, feels like it's climbing.
Yeah, I agree. To me, this is the time where you've got these news events, or you have the technical components that are playing a role, or the market intervention with the margin requirements or what have you, and it moves. But Miles, as you have always pointed out, you can tell essentially where it's capable of going or likely to go. You can't tell timing or the speed at which it gets right there. And so really that's what we're trying to figure out is ultimately, yeah, completely normal to see a 618 correction, and it doesn't even interrupt a bull market.
No.
And so that's not discouraging. If you focus on what drives the gold price higher, it's decreasing interest rates, it's money supply going up, it's debt and deficits increasing, it's the inflation number, which PPI and CPI came out. PPI was up 0.5% in January and 2.9% for 12 months is the inflation rate that both of those turned up. So as inflation starts to ramp back up, obviously gold's going to go up. The dollar has really been in a decline. So the dollar index at DXY is a good indicator, but that chart has had a crazy weekend in response to the Iranian conflict. But for the most part, it's not like we're in a bullish breakout on the dollar, are we, Miles?
No, and let me finish up gold here real quick, and then, yeah, we'll take a look at the dollar. So gold in this channel right here, honestly, we're at the bottom of this rising channel that gold has been in thanks to the decline here in the last couple days, down to around 5120-ish, 5120, 5130. We see a break below that. I would say you can put a pretty solid short-term floor in gold between 4580 and maybe 4680. Somewhere in that $100 range, that's kind of where the bottom of the market was when it finished that decline. That's right down just above that 618 long-term fib. So I think gold has a pretty solid line in the sand. Now, that's quite a ways down.
Well, it's 10% down.
Yeah, but that's nothing compared to what silver does on a weekly basis. So who cares?
That's true. But when people are trying to find an entry point, you're fairly safe if you can buy within 10% of the bottom. That's sure. Always been the adage as long as I've been in the business. So I think that gives clients an opportunity to say, okay, well, I may not be buying it at the last dollar price, but you know, I'm within 10% of the bottom. It's okay. Yeah. The water is fine.
There is an alternative argument that anybody who's hyper bullish on gold needs to keep in the back of your head. And then this will actually transition us over to the dollar question, Tori, is that let's live in a fantasy world where we just saw the top of the gold market get put in for the next 5 years. You know, we saw that in 2020, right? We saw 2020 put a peak in. Everybody thought it was going to correct and keep going. And next thing you know, it's 2025 before anything really starts happening again. So we still could see that happen, and we could just end up building this really big long-term trading range sideways. And then, of course, something catastrophic that ends up blowing up the markets as a whole. Once margin requirements get put in there and you start looking at unraveling of things like, say, the 2008 stock market crash, that could pull gold down with it. And then we'll be talking about better entry levels. So I think consistency with investing continues to make sense. The government is consistently spending more than they make. They're consistently causing the price of all goods and services to go up year in and year out. So I'm going to consistently keep buying gold. So you wanted to talk about the dollar. Let's do that. No, I don't think the dollar is bullish by any means. In fact, I would argue it's still very bearish. I think we had a nice little pop in the dollar over the last couple days. It was trending that direction anyway. It's been stair-stepping down going back to April of last year, where it came off that huge fall between January and April of 2025, and it's been stair-stepping down since then. Personally, no, I don't see it in the dollar. I think you can have a reactionary move based on news. It's pushed us back up to the top end of this trading channel that the US dollar has been in. It hit some of those top end pricing around 98.99. Now it's starting to come back down. So yeah, obviously it could push back above that, but you're really talking with the US dollar here, you're really talking about getting up to maybe 101.5, which would be kind of a 50% retracement off the absolute bottom, is I think where you'd really want to see the dollar get to before I'm going to start arguing the momentum has shifted bullish. And the dollar is a slow moving ship. You know, it takes a long time for the dollar to really get going. It's the biggest asset that's ever existed in history. It's got a lot of engines, but it has a lot of weight. So it takes time to really get it moving one direction or the other.
How about silver on its declines? You know, I know we have been chopping a lot and it's tough to lay a roadmap when you've got noise from war and conflict in the mix as well. And there's still a lot to play out, both economically, but also just from a central bank standpoint. Remember, we've got a new chairman coming in May and interest rates and that sort of thing. But silver is certainly more volatile. I would say the year-to-date chart on silver is not as attractive as the year-to-date chart on gold. Like you mentioned, gold stair-stepping. Silver is not stair-stepping. Silver looks like it's running stairs in a stadium, you know, like,
yeah.
And so where do you expect there to be support there?
Well, and it kind of is, right? Like if you look at the short-term silver chart just since, again, going back to the end of January where we peaked, we had a giant single-day fall. A little bit of a follow-up on Monday, not as much as gold did percentage-wise. Most of silver's decline happened on Friday, and because it was China that went after the silver market, not the gold market, that kind of makes sense. Gold came down with it. So, you know, 120 all the way down to 71 in 2 days. A little bit of a bounce. It ended up bottoming out around 64, 65 interday the following Friday. So we literally had a 50% decline, more than 50% decline in a week, which is insane for any market. Just shows you how overbought silver had become at the time.
Gosh, it sounds like Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, silver is the new Bitcoin, yeah, apparently.
From what we've been told, silver is the new Bitcoin.
Silver is the new Bitcoin. But silver has been stair-stepping up too since then. It hasn't been as optimistic looking as gold, but it's a pretty clear channel, I would argue. With silver putting in a high at 84, now most recently a high at 96 and change. The lows have been higher and silver appears to be climbing its way back up to potentially testing the previous highs. Also, it's just the percentages are so big. I think it's really shaking a lot of people's confidence. It's really hard to, I don't, but I know there are people out there who do look at the charts in their portfolios every day. And 3 or 5 or 8% swings every day when you're going up and down can get a little bit nerve-wracking. And certainly a 50% loss in a week can be devastating. but yeah, it's climbed halfway back up already.
But for a little bit of encouragement too, for the last 2 weeks, the Chinese New Year has shut down Shanghai and Shenzhen. They just opened. Their Chinese New Year ended yesterday, so you're talking about one of the biggest players in the silver market has been absent for 2 weeks, just like Tory.
Tory, were you in China for the last 2 weeks for Chinese New Year?
He'll never say.
No comment.
I'm curious to see, with them coming back into the market, how that's going to add to our new favorite word.
Momentum.
That's it. So I'm looking for some momentum in the silver market. Maybe I've gotten sucked into the silver world being a gold bug, but hey, I'm cautiously optimistic for silver.
Well, I mean, come on, the low that it put in February, we talked about silver finishing up 9.4% for the month of February. Well, it rallied back 38% from that low that Miles described.
Yeah.
38%. And you know, Hedgeye, the risk management firm that we utilize a lot, I mean, they're bullish on silver and their range sounds real similar to you, Miles, the low end of $78 and the high end of 97. So anywhere in between there,
yeah, it's big
we're
range.
In a bull market and that's a big range,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, their gold range is large, 5,030 to 5,374. Again, bullish on gold. And if we drop below the 5,030, like you described, Miles, now we've got some other support down below that we should fully expect to be a few hundred dollars, $500 lower. doesn't interrupt a bull market at all. No. We don't care. That's what we talk about every week on buying the dips. And I said that to my clients, like, look, just to try to get them to think, because I don't know, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know where prices go. But if you're needing to liquidate, then you certainly sell a spike like what we saw on Monday in silver or getting to 96.
Yep.
In the short term, if you need the money, we'll sell a spike. Likewise, if you're continuing to add ounces like the three of us do all the time.
Buy on a down day.
Yeah, you buy those dips and you hope for bigger ones.
I've got two piles on my desk. Clients that are trying to sell, I'm waiting for a rally.
Uh-huh.
Clients that are trying to buy, I'm waiting for a dip.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah. And an 8% down week ought to help somebody.
Yeah, so, it has.
And it's going to hurt the other pile a little bit. But you've got to have a plan, and the plan really... because the gold to silver ratio looks much like one of these charts. What we've experienced here in the short term is remarkable. And depending on how far back we go, I mean, we can just look at the last 2 months. But if we look at the last 10 months, and then we look at the last month, you know, with where that ratio has gone, when we bottomed at 46-1 and climbed all the way back up nearly to 70, almost a ratio trade in just that short little recovery blip. And now we're back down to about 60.
Yeah, 60, 62, somewhere around right there. Yeah.
And so that's the third pile on your desk, right? And are the ratio traders.
that pile's growing.
Yeah. And waiting for that opportunity. So, Miles, anything to add from a technical standpoint on the gold to silver ratio and what we're seeing with its volatility?
No, I think you've got to let the information dictate your conclusion. Don't choose your conclusion and then go looking for the echo chamber to back up your previous opinion. So that statement may be pointed at more one group than the other when you're talking about gold versus silver. I'll let you decide which one I'm talking to. But I know there's some people out there who would love to see the gold-silver ratio go back up to 100, which we know can certainly happen. I know there are also people out there that would love to see the gold-silver ratio go down to 15-1, which I don't think will ever happen.
Yeah, but I would love it.
That's just me.
Give me 30. Give me 40.
I would take 30 or 42. Yeah. Anytime you get those outlier events, those extreme events, it allows you to rebalance the percentages of relative metal in your account. And all that does is help you compound that many more ounces. So the lower it goes, the better it is for the silver holder. But it's of no use to you if your long-term objective is just to hold ounces. Well, what's the point if you're not going to compound them through the ratio trading?
Right.
If that ratio comes all the way down there, you're well advised to make a move and part ways with it, as emotional as it will be.
It's hard.
It's hard, and you got to move it into gold.
When it gets into those lower ratio numbers, people are like, no, I want a little more.
Yeah, it's going to go even higher. It's not about the spot price, right? It's about the relative price. And you're going to come back to even more silver if you let it go. It's kind of like that girlfriend you had that didn't like you, but you loved her so much you had to let her go.
And I'm going to say a crazy thing, because I like looking at this chart on a 40-year timeline, and that chart is rising. Gold is becoming more valuable than silver over time, and that number is going up. So from my perspective, I know we can look back over history and say, okay, what is it, 58-1, 60-1 is the average gold to silver ratio since 1972. Yep. However, the highs have been getting higher and lows are getting higher.
Yeah.
So I would argue
don't be waiting for 15 to 1.
Yeah, at 60 to 1, I'm probably heavier gold than silver. I think I still am.
I am too. And buying silver in 2011, we had the same sort of dynamic, right? Silver was going back to 50, its all time high. Everybody was excited. They were jumping on the bandwagon. The ratio was down in the 30s and they were buying silver. And ever since then, not only did the spot price turn against them, which doesn't have to happen, but the ratio certainly did. Well, I don't know when we'll see 31-1 again, maybe this year, but you guys, that's been 15 years that you couldn't ratio trade out of that silver that you bought when it was running in 2011.
Can get down to 31-1. I am so out of silver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in 1980, it was 16-1.
And you've never seen that again. And that's part of your climbing trend. On the ratio, I think the lows in the ratio, like you said, get higher. And we have to be cognizant. We can't be waiting for something that happened before. No different than the new high price in silver. You weren't just waiting for it to go back to 50. we were waiting for 75.
Right.
We knew at some point silver was going to go to $75 an ounce and maybe even 100. Well, that's happened. That's great. But just don't count on too much of a significant decline in the ratio. In my opinion, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying don't bank on that and don't add insult to injury by adding too much silver here when you should be adding gold. Proportionally a little more gold.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. We appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website, mcalvaney.com. That's mcalvaney.com, where you can find more information about precious metals investing. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week.